27. To sing a song of madness. Modo awoke several hours later. The lights were slowly growing brighter, so the sleep cycle was over. The Actinia was thrumming. He now understood that this meant they were travelling at a good clip through the ocean. He rubbed his eyes and sat up. Assuming they kept the same hours as the outside world, he'd spent two nights on the Actinia. On impulse, he felt around to be sure Griff was not in the room. The light flickered. He looked up at it, and an idea occurred to him. He retrieved the telegraph. By standing on his cot, he was able to reach the glass and push it aside. There were two bulbs inside, so he uncovered the electric filaments that led to one of them. He knew not to touch the bare wires with his hand. He grabbed the rubber around them and cut one with his knife. The bulb went black, but the other bulb kept burning. He used a wooden soup spoon to guide the wire onto the telegraph. The device made a clicking noise. It worked. He let out a triumphant laugh. Modo, you've done it! Brilliant! Brilliant! There was no guarantee that the Actinia would be anywhere near the transatlantic cable lines, but he typed out a message addressing it to Mr. Socrates and encoding it. He chose two word sentences, hoping that if it was cut off, they'd get at least part of the meaning. Modo alive, stop. In submarine ship, stop. Underwater city, stop. Near Iceland, stop. Agent Griff, stop. Assisting me, stop. Must... Mr. Walken, are you awake? Modo jumped. It was Colette. He nearly dropped the telegraph. A spark shot from the wires. The one working bulb flickered, then grew brighter. Yes, I'm awake, he answered. I'm dressing. He slid the glass plate into place. He heard a cough. Griff? Are you well enough to join us for breakfast? Yes, yes, he said, stepping down from the cot. He spread out his arms and searched for Griff, then hid the telegraph under his pillow. He'd take it with him, but none of the pockets in the Icarian clothing were large enough. He assumed people who didn't own anything didn't need pockets. Well, we'll see you there. But hurry, my friend. They'll be singing the song. You don't want to miss this. Song? He changed into the night as quickly as possible, wiped the sweat from his brow, and finished dressing. He opened the door and looked back into the room, realizing that he was becoming paranoid. If Griff had been there, he would have said something. They were on the same side, after all. Modo closed the cabin door, wishing he could lock it. On his way to the dining room, he heard the first odd notes of an organ echoing around him. The music was coming from all directions at once. Perhaps it was travelling through the pipes that ran everywhere around the ship. He passed an open door and discovered Captain Monturiel sitting at a pipe organ, pressing down keys to play the mournful song. Several Icarians were around her, and others had stopped in the hall. They began to sing all at once across the ship, and Modo was surprised by the timbre and emotion of their voices, as beautiful as any choir he'd heard the few times Mr. Socrates had taken him to church. He saw Colette, moved closer to her. "Are they singing in Spanish?" he whispered. "No, Catalan. And it's their anthem. Once a week they do this. I'll translate, since you English agents don't know Catalan. Fiery are my cares, toilsome is my cause, to know what hides unseen in the mysterious sea. Icaria, be strong, poor heart that trembles, desist not from your cause. Conquer the fear, for glory is yours." "It's a stirring song," Modo whispered. "It's no La Marseillaise, but it has its moments." Hearing so many voices as one, Modo had been surprised how the song had moved him. No sour notes. The joy and dedication it expressed. The pleasure at being part of an accepting group, something he rarely felt. They were one. They had a common cause. They belonged together. The music slowly faded. Captain Monturiel stood. "Ah, Mr. Walken, I see you are well today." The singing was absolutely lovely. All sung from the heart, though we miss Sir Dar's baritone. Now return to your stations, my comrades, for we have work, as always. I, too, have tasks to complete, my guests. Excuse me. She strode into the corridor. Let's fetch breakfast, Colette said. The galley of the ship was just past the dining room. Murdo and Colette lined up for bread, hot cakes, and a mug of white liquid. They ate at one of the mess tables. The drink was not unlike milk. It's dolphin milk, Colette said as Murdo took a gulp. He nearly spat it out. Really? She laughed. No, I don't know what it is. It's probably better that way. After my first week, I stopped asking. They don't die from drinking it, but I would kill for a croissant with real cow's butter and jam. The word kill echoed in his ears, and he wondered if she really could have done what Griff had said. So, you'll explain to me what happened yesterday? She asked. I felt trapped in the suit, that is all. But you weren't frightened on the way to New Barcelona? It came over me suddenly. And this mysterious rash? It's a nervous reaction. She didn't seem to believe him, so he added, My doctor said so. Really, Murdo, you must work on your acting. I'm sure you'll tell me when you're ready. I have been forthright with you. It really is a reaction to don't lie. She held up her hand. We haven't discussed what we saw yesterday. This new Barcelona was, well, I must admit I was stunned beyond words. That mustn't happen very often. Are you insinuating that I'm verbose, Mr. Walken? She patted his hand. A city under the ocean. The Actinio is just a bauble compared with that. It was beyond anything I had ever imagined, too. The captain's father had a brilliant mind. Yes. Imagine a new Paris spreading out below the water. A new Arc de Triomphe and a Palais du Louvre, all under the sea. Yes, I imagine that, he said, baking croissants at full fathom 5. Oh, I'm sure you English would be starting your own colonies, too. After all, you've had so much practice failing so far. Perhaps you've learned from it. Huh, enough of these dreams. I have news. The telegraph was returned to me. Her eyes widened. That's odd. It was broken. I don't know what to make of it. Were you able to fix it? No. She tapped a finger on her chin. I see. You seem secretive, Murdo. That's my job, he said with a nervous chuckle. We shook hands, Murdo. I gave you my word. Do you doubt mine? No, no, he said. Out of the corner of his eye he saw a cup rise a few inches in the air, and a milk-like liquid drain from it. Griff was brazenly sitting right next to them. All the Icarians were gone. I'm not being secretive. It's only that I've been unwell. Oh, that's just all the tea you British drink. You need coffee, my friend. Coffee. Something we don't find on the Actinio, I might add. She paused. Did you notice that we're moving at about 15 knots? You can tell the speed. A smile was both gentle and mocking. No, Murdo. Montoriel told me that the top speed of the Actinio is 24 knots. 24 knots? But the fastest warship only goes 14. Yes, the Actinio is much faster. No waves to slow her down. Believe me, you'll know when we hit top speed. She felt the wall. It was vibrating like this when we speared the Hugo. We are hunting, Murdo. I fear the crew is preparing for another attack.